Time to check in with Peter Dykstra of dailyclimate.org and environmental health news. That's EHN.org and the world beyond the headlines. He's on the line now from Conyers, Georgia. Hi there, Peter.
Hi, Steve. One of the world's largest chemical manufacturers just recently settled a massive 16-year-old lawsuit in federal court. DuPont manufactured perfluorooctanoic acid, it's usually known as PFOA, at a plant in Parkersburg, West Virginia. PFOA is key to manufacturing one of DuPont's marquee consumer products, Teflon. This chemical leaked into water supplies near the plant. Local residents sued, saying PFOA, which EPA lists as a likely carcinogen, is responsible for various illnesses and birth defects.
And the EPA also got DuPont and other manufacturers to stop using PFOA several years ago, right? So what kind of money are we talking about in this settlement?
$671 million to be split among thousands of plaintiffs and, of course, a boatload of lawyers. DuPont's stock actually went up after the settlement was announced because some experts thought they'd be paying out more like $1 billion.
So the people with health problems they linked to PFOA aren't likely to be seeing much in terms of compensation, I guess. And DuPont execs are looking at a rather eventful year on other fronts, I think.
Yeah, they are. This settlement has cleared the decks for a chemical mega-merger with their longtime rivals, Dow Chemical. The $130 billion deal is expected to be completed later this year. But wait, there's more. German-based Bayer is seeking approval to take over U.S.-based Monsanto to the tune of $66 billion this year also. And the EU is expected to rule on another giant takeover in April, a $43 billion deal between ChemChina and Syngenta.
So the global giants of chemicals and pesticides are poised to grow even bigger, huh? What else do you have for us today?
Well, if you want an example of how a pretty straightforward energy issue can become a major global security issue, look no farther than North Korea.
Oh, North Korea. What could possibly go wrong there?
Well, they've been busy lately, a little saber-rattling about nuclear weapons, and of course the apparent murder of Kim Jong-un's half-brother. And when North Korea acts up, its economic lifeline, China, sometimes acts too. China announced they're cutting off all North Korean coal imports through the end of the year, probably the single biggest source of currency for the perpetually cash-starved nation.
But aren't there concerns that a country with an unstable leader might do something regrettable in response?
Well, let's leave the United States out of this. But North Korea, developing nukes and missiles to deliver them and constantly threatening to unleash its conventional artillery on South Korea, is entirely unpredictable. China's decision to put North Korea in coal timeout could be the key to toppling North Korea, or it could result in something very, very bad. So let's move from North Korean coal to domestic U.S. coal for our history item. In fact, back to West Virginia.
Okay, sounds good. What do you have?
Well, Pearl Woodrum was a resident of Saunders, West Virginia, a small coal mining town in the southern part of the state. In the late 60s and early 70s, she repeatedly contacted the state government, concerned that a mining waste dump uphill from her town was unsafe.
Now, mining waste is different from the coal ash dumps we've heard so much about in recent years, right?
Oh, that's correct. Mining waste, or coal slag, is the toxic mess left behind from the actual extraction of coal. Coal ash is the toxic mess left behind when that coal is burned in a power plant or factory. After three rain-soaked days on the night of February 26, 1972, 45 years ago this week, heavy rains forced coal waste dams to collapse, burying Saunders and three other small towns. Pearl Woodrum survived, but 125 other people died.
Now, this was in the era of strip mining. Were there any meaningful reforms?
Well, 5 years after what became known as the Buffalo Creek disaster, Congress passed the Surface Mining Control and Reclamation Act of 1977, putting the clamps on strip mining.
So today we have mountaintop removal instead, huh?
Yeah, we do. It's a ruthlessly efficient and destructive method that needs far fewer miners to execute, sacrificing both jobs and mountains throughout Appalachia.
And burying valleys and streams with waste as well. Peter Dykstra is with Environmental Health News at EHN.org and dailyclimate.org. Thanks, Peter. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Okay, Steve. Thanks. Talk to you soon.